Hello and a very warm welcome to the Cardiff Podcast. My name is Alistair Lev. This podcast is the second part of a homeless special and focuses on an initiative going on in the community that makes a genuine difference to the lives of homeless people. It's easy and lazy to think nothing is being done to help those who live on our streets, on our sofas or in hostels and B&Bs, but there really is, and Cardiff Council has been working with previous podcast guest Gemma Price and all the great people at Llanrymney Phoenix Boxing Club to provide a safe space to share experiences, train, get fit and benefit from all the mental health enhancing powers that boxing brings. It's serious training too, the formidable Tony really puts them through their paces. I speak to Rob Green from Cardiff Council and two young men who've benefited hugely from the scheme. And of course Gemma, who's just been honoured by the big lottery on ITV for the work she's done with lottery funding. Richly deserved too. Please rate and review this podcast, but let's get on with it. Part two of the homeless special sounds very much like this.
Down, go, run. Come on. Quicker than that.
Right, Rob, thanks very much for speaking to the Cardiff Podcast.
Pleasure.
Really, really appreciate it. Can you just tell us a little bit about the initiative, the Boxing for Homeless?
Yeah, so Fighting Homelessness is what we call it. It is a bit of a catchy sort of name there.
I've clearly got the name wrong
already. No, that's great. So the idea behind it was we always try and find sort of diversionary activities, especially sporting activities, whereas, you know, physical health, which a lot of the homeless guys, obviously through various activities, they sort of deteriorate their physical health and mental health as well. And I just remember one day I was talking with one of the guys that I was supporting who was doing white collar boxing, and I just thought from there, well, actually this is a good idea for the homeless guys. And it was actually me and this other homeless fella there sort of talked about how it would look. So from there we just started writing the project. I spoke with Tony and Gemma here. I've got previous work with Tony and Gemma, so I really knew how I could trust these guys and to build something really special. So we just did the first week, and it's just been going ever since. It's been absolutely fantastic. The change in a lot of the homeless guys has been brilliant. I've had managers come down who've said about to see some of the guys in here, you just never would have thought they'd be in a place like this to begin with. So the initiative is something I'm definitely proud of.
I imagine it must take an enormous amount of effort to get them here in the first place.
Yeah, it's a weekly challenge, I guess. When you get them in, they're sold. They just love being in a real boxing gym. It's like, a lot of them when they first came in, they thought that I just sort of was bringing them to a leisure centre. So when they actually come to the gym, they were like, "Wow, this is the real thing. How have we managed to do this?" And there's a lot of effort in terms of just getting them motivated. A lot of them have some severe sort of anxieties and stuff, which is probably the biggest thing. And that tied with a lack of confidence through trauma that pretty much all the homeless have gone through. So trying to build them to get the confidence, motivate them to go to anywhere, let alone a place like this. Takes a lot of energy out of you,
That's kind of an unreported thing in a way, Rob, isn't it? Because, you know, I think the common public perception of homeless people, I don't think the first word to spring to mind would be anxiety or confidence, would it? Yet when you boil it down, it's quite an obvious thing. So is that one of the main characteristics you notice in homeless people?
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%. There's the main sort of characteristics are your anxiety and depression. All of this because of trauma that they've gone through. I know, obviously, like you said about perception, a lot of people just see the drugs and stuff. But a lot of that drugs is because of coping mechanism for a lot of them, because they don't know any other way. So again, using the boxing, we've just found that a lot of people now use the exercise and, you know, hitting bags and stuff as a different coping mechanism to get them away from drugs. And just tackling that anxiety, because the more and more they come here, the more and more confident they feel about themselves. And it's what gets them out of bed every Friday.
And what are the main, we've been going now about 5 weeks, isn't it?
Six weeks. Yeah.
What transformation have you seen in the lads?
Well, some of them just absolutely brilliant. Like Matt Renier, for example, amazing, absolutely amazing. Like I took his support on literally on a Thursday, and on the Friday I brought him here, and everyone's just seeing the difference in him. He seems so much more confident. He seems so much more independent. Just huge, huge different. A lot of them, one of the things we noticed, for example, that we always talk about the minibus ride to the event. When we first got there, they were in every corner of the bus. They were separated. Yeah. They wouldn't interact too much with each other. By the end of it, you know, by this week, we noticed that there was no space in the corners. They were all together like one team. They always refer to it as their boxing club. They've taken ownership of it. Even when we was in the minibus last time, they started to say, let's meet up and do this, and they've started doing cooking for each other. It's just took a huge turn where they feel more integrated, feel more a part of a community. The fact that they want to cook for each other, the fact that they want to spend time with each other, like normally they just isolate themselves and they just go into their places in their hostels. But here they've come right out the shell. They look so much more a part of the community. Each and every one of them is just absolutely fantastic.
It's brilliant to hear that. And because part one of this homeless special was at the Homeless World Cup, but that was a theme that a lot of the people I spoke to there saying. It's just the sense of belonging to something, because they you know, often on the street they're literally ignored, or worse, and you know. So how much is that a part of it then? Just feeling like they belong.
So the simple sort of way of saying this, we've done the t-shirts for the project, and you know they love wearing the t-shirts because they feel a part of something. And just now every time we see them in their places where they're staying, they're always wearing the t-shirts because they just feel part of something. That is the first time they've ever felt part of anything, and they just feel proud to wear it because they feel like they're representing their boxing club, and they are. And it's you know, that's just shows how they always just wanted to be a part of some sort of community, and now that they are, that's why we're seeing the change in them.
That's fantastic. Obviously with Cardiff Council, you said you do support work as well as the boxing. So in a sense, getting the boxers to come here and work out and feel part of something, is it leading, are you able to signpost other services?
Yeah, I mean, so what we notice is that for a lot of them, because they start to show their independence a lot more, like we said, we're seeing people start cooking, we're even seeing people budgeting because they want to buy boxing gloves and stuff like that. Because we're starting to see all that, then there's other projects out there. There's another project I work on called Sale, which is to do with like a temporary tenancy, if you will, a bit of a trial for six months. And after that 6 months, that tenancy becomes these. But I mean, so this kind of project, seeing the progression in it, we can use all of that as evidence to say, right, now we can look at progressing them into their own tenancies. And essentially, you're bringing them back into society, a sustainable way of living, meaning they're a valued part of the community, as would anybody else be.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And obviously, you've mentioned, you know, they're cooking together, there's a sense of community. What other things have you noticed? Is there any other striking changes you've noticed in that time?
Yeah, just they're just so much more open. I mean, like there's one guy, Matthew, when he first came in, we were surprised he jumped in with us, to be honest with you. And by this week, he's so chatty now all of a sudden. Just stuff like that, where he's come right out of his shell. I always say, because I'm quite a comedic guy, the banter that the guys have now, it just means that they're starting to really feel confident about just being who they are. And you can't, especially doing support work, the value of having someone that feels confident about themselves and wants to open up and feels comfortable with you, you can't put a price on that or a target on that. That is so valuable in them. And that's the big, huge difference for me, is just seeing how much more confident they are. It's just a joy. I mean, everyone that comes to watch the project always says that the heartwarming feeling that they get when they watch this is immense. And there's nothing else quite like it. And we're just talking now about, you know, in terms of keeping up the boxing. Obviously, we're in pilot phase.
Yeah, right.
And really speaking, what I'd like for some of these guys to do now is to move into your white collar boxing. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be a next great step. Yeah. And we have got one guy who's doing that. He's done extremely well. He won his event fight. He's actually won two now. So we're just seeing now that we're starting to see roots of helping people back into sustainable living. Nice.
And I've spoken to Gemma on a previous podcast. But what is it about boxing that has this transformative effect? Because it seems to be really pronounced compared to other sports.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's hard to quite put your finger on it. I mean, for me, I mean, because I've always been into martial arts, so I just love the art form of fighting, I guess. For me, it's like I've always said the fight is like a metaphor. So the person opposite you, like that's life. That life is trying to be faster than you, is trying to punch harder than you, is trying to bring you down. So with boxing, when you're there and you're standing on your own, you're beating that person. To me, you're beating life. And because that's what boxing is, the perfect metaphor for life for me, I think that's why it's so valuable in this kind of environment for homeless people, because you're giving them that perseverance back, you're giving them that motivation, that confidence. I think that's why boxing works, because I just think for me it's just another metaphor for life, a really powerful metaphor for life.
Oh, I totally agree with you. Finally, Rob, I really appreciate your time, and that's, I know, okay, you've got to get back in with the lads there. It strikes me that I've completely forgot what I was going to ask. What was I going to ask? Oh yeah, this to me seems so important, because it's a common thing you hear on the street. Is like, what do the council do for homeless people? Blah blah blah. To me, I knew there was a lot going on, but it's so important that message gets out, and it's brilliant to hear that A, you're a support worker, and B, you're taking on these sort of innovations that are obviously so transformative. But also, what would you like to see? It's a personal view in a sense. What would you like to see done that's, you know, that takes this on again, even at a government level, because councils can only do so much. What do homeless people need ultimately?
I suppose one of the key things that, I mean, speaking with the homeless guys, I truly believe, like, in service user led, like, they, you know, I put this together, but they've always, you know, it was those guys that decided to add cooking, it was those guys who decided to get together. So I've always believed that. So when I listen to them, like, they just say about, just boredom is a huge thing at the moment.
Yeah.
Accessibility, you know, we've put this together as me, myself, Tony, Gemma, obviously the guys in Cardiff Council, we've put this together to make it accessible for them. But because the way things are at the moment, I just think that things aren't accessible. Like, we're seeing troubles every day. Like, people can't even afford to live. That's literally why they're homeless. So they can't afford to go to a gym, they can't afford to go to boxing, they can't afford to play on a park, they can't even afford a football nowadays because they're so expensive that they can't even go to a park and play football. So because of that, then there's just no access for them to feel a part of any community, because even if we do house them, then it's right, when they're housed, they're isolated because they can't afford to do anything. I know people say, right, well, they can get jobs and stuff, which is fine, but unless they have that support to get the jobs, and we're talking about isolation again. So for me, on a government level, I guess it's just more like, let's try and make things more accessible, let's try and make things more affordable, and that's not just for homeless people, that's for everybody. There's so many kids nowadays growing up that can't afford to go to these gyms. I mean, I remember when I went to, when I was a kid, I used to go to the athletics track. But even that was so expensive, because you're talking about expensive spikes and you're talking about the kit. And then people just can't afford that nowadays, let alone homeless people. So on a government level, it's just try and make things more accessible to people.
So the consequences almost of austerity, in a sense, and the price of things has a ripple right across society, but it hits the homeless harder, hardest of all.
Yeah, that, yeah, absolutely. Because the moment you become homeless, the struggle to get out of it, because everyone always assumes, obviously, homelessness is drug users and things like that. Bear in mind, there are families that are homeless. There are multiple hostels with Cardiff Council definitely support, where there's families that are homeless. Now, so even again, if we can help them get into their own accommodation, but then they still can't afford for their kids to go to these places because they're just not accessible, because they're not affordable. For me, I want to see more social enterprises. I love what Phoenix Boxing Gym does here. I just love to see more social enterprises where the focus isn't on about profit making, it's about the service that's being delivered. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to see more social enterprises, like, you know, more social enterprise boxing clubs, gyms, stuff like that, because the more private gyms there are, it means it can be expensive and the average Joe Bloggs can't afford it.
Down, come on, keep it going. Not miss a step.
Sean, thank you so much for speaking to me. Really, really appreciate it. if you're able to, you don't have to go into too much detail, but can you tell us a little bit about your story? How you ended up homeless?
I was originally born in Manchester. Mm-hmm. I lost my mum through cancer, got myself into a bit of trouble, ended up doing a sentence in prison. Ended up getting out of jail. I wasn't going to go back to Hereford. I was going to go back to Cardiff with my sister, where she lived, just to stay out of trouble. So I've been here now 7 years. Mm-hmm. I was privately renting because I was working in Cardiff Galvanisers. I was down the private route. Yeah. Got laid off from the job. Found out that because of my age, they wouldn't pay my top up for my rent, which was £400, mm-hmm. and they was only paying me £240. So I managed like 8 months just managing, doing bits of jobs and this, that, just to top up the rent, but physically couldn't manage it after that, so I found myself homeless. Mm-hmm. I'd done 8 months then homelessness.
What did that look like, Sean? Was it literally on the streets?
On the streets, yeah. Me, my dog, my tent, all my belongings, literally at the side of the river. Literally there for like 8 months until the people of the company that owned base on Newport Road, mm-hmm. finally put a fence up and stopped me from thingy.
Right.
I didn't want to ask for help to start off with because I thought I'd get myself back into job.
Yeah.
But then finally for myself, I've got nothing, and got involved with my friend's key worker who got me into Litchfield Court. Mm-hmm. I'm in the Teen Oz Project at the moment, so I'm like out at nine and at night and trying to find something to do in the day. Mm-hmm. This boxing now on a Friday, coffee mornings and stuff like that. Yeah. But I'm finding myself feeling fitter and that, and weller, and you know, more happy in myself now.
How did you find out about the boxing then?
Through the Teen Oz Project. Yeah. Through the night shelter of Litchfield.
So that's linked to the night shelter. Yeah, yeah, right, I'm with you.
My friend who's Lewis, he's in one of the flats there. He said, why don't I tag along? And I thought to myself, I might as well tag along. And this is my second week now, and the first week it hit me, but I'm enjoying it.
What have you sort of got out of it?
More to the fact is looking forward to doing something on a Friday, keeping fit, and also, you know, other people, when you walk around town, they see your t-shirt and they want to get involved as well. Yeah. Like, you know, and I know it's only a small project at the moment, but if people can see that we can do it, then they might be able to do it. Like, you know, this time last year I was just about to go on the street, like, you know, I had no hope. Now I feel like I'm going to get somewhere, like, you know.
Oh, that's brilliant. In 2 weeks, you're already feeling that.
Yeah, in 2 weeks, amazing, like, you know. And I've been in the Teen Oz Project now 3 weeks. I know it's a long, steady project, but, you know, the guys there help you out, whatever you need, you know. Even though it's a long day out, you can always go back there and, you know, they can help you with any paperwork, any financial difficulties or anything like getting you down. They can try and take you away from that, you know. Or if you end up wanting to go back on the street for any reasons at all because you share, they'll try and help you that way.
And try and give us a sense, Sean, you know, for the listeners, what is it like? Because you were working, you had a flat, you know, life was decent, right? What is it like to suddenly end up on the streets? How does that feel?
At first, like, but because I didn't have many, I had a few friends, but they was in like sort of same situation as me, but they didn't have the room to put me up. My sister, she was in like a play, and she had so many kids, and she couldn't put them up. So I felt like she was worrying about me, and you know, and things like that. And it's just, basically, it's just the daily thing, like, you know, getting up and trying to get your life. You can't plan your future when you're on the streets. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't see your future.
Yeah, but soon, literally day by day.
Yeah, it's a day by day thing. You don't even know when your next meal is going to come from. You know, because you cooking facilities and that. But then you try to get along with it. And with me, like, I try to put things in the back of my mind and just try and get on with it, be happy about it. Even though I'm down, I'll still try and, you know, be happy about it. And things turn around. You grow up and you go down. Yeah. You know. But all I can look at now, I've been to the rock bottom, I don't think I can go any lower than that. Mm. And now I can all just focus on going up in it with support of Teen Oz and Litchfield.
Yeah. And obviously this project then, you said, what is the main thing you've got out of it then? Because it's only week two, as you say. What is it that's driven?
Basically, what's driven me basically is the other lads are doing it. And, you know, fitness for one. Mm-hmm. Two, it's just like being part of a team as well, like, you know.
Yeah.
And three, it's something to look forward to after you finish your 10 weeks. You want to look at that, and then after that, if I enjoy it, I'm going to carry it on then, you know. And maybe also get other people to do it as well. Yeah. So maybe this time next year, if other people see this project's gone well, maybe other projects might take it on and, you know, take it aboard.
Come on, quick going. That's it, get back up. Individually, that's good, come on, 20, let's go.
Right, Louis, thank you very much for speaking to me, I really, really appreciate it. First of all, and I asked Sean the same thing, if you just give us a flavour of how you ended up on the streets, what's your story? You can give as much detail or as little as you want.
Originally, I was living with my parents in Barry. My mum actually became ill and then she passed away. The council actually took her flat back and basically turned around to me and said, go to Cardiff and see if they'll help you. And that's what I've had to do. So.
And when was that?
It was roughly about 3 years ago now, mm-hmm. nearly 4 years.
So you ended up in Cardiff. What happened then?
I met Sean when I came back into Cardiff. We stayed together on the streets for a little bit. He's in the night shelter at the minute, due to my support worker as well, helping him out and just going from there, getting our own place and doing all the activities.
Mm. Yeah. I can't begin to imagine the shock of sort of losing your mother and then ending up on the streets. Can you even describe how that must have felt?
Well, just getting up every day, it just didn't feel like a normal day. It was quite hard to get through the day, obviously trying to make money as well as coping with that. It's just quite a struggle, so quite hard. So,
yeah. What were the worst things you faced when you suddenly found yourself?
The worst thing I faced was literally about 2 days after I became homeless. The weather changed dramatically, and it was actually started snowing. And I went to sleep, and it was fine. I woke up, and I was covered in snow from head to toe and freezing. So.
What was that, in a doorway?
Yeah, that was in a doorway in Cardiff City Centre, yeah. That was literally within 12 hours of laying down there.
Good grief, so. Good grief. And how did you find out about this project?
It was through my support worker. I was in TNOS as well, originally, and then my support worker came to me and said, there's a possibility of a flat, would you like to go down? I was interested, and then I spoke to Rob, and basically just signed the form and handed over the keys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's good. And then, so what is this? How long have you been coming to the boxing?
It's been going on for about 4 weeks now. I've done every session so far.
And how's it been? What have you got from it? How have you enjoyed it?
I feel more healthier, but it's again like getting out of Litchfield, away from there, and it's more exercise. I feel more awake in the daytime and can run more further, like, so.
So you just generally feel better as a result. So you're going to keep it going?
Yeah, so I think it's a 10-week program altogether, but I'm going to try and keep going after the 10 weeks as well. So.
And how has it affected your life day to day? What benefits have you taken into, you know, it's a Friday, but say on a Tuesday, what have you taken from it that you've used?
Well, through the week, when we only come box on Friday, through the week, we do try and train as much on, but Tuesday, Thursday, where we normally train next week, I've actually got to start work in the parks department.
Oh, right. So, it's going to be working? Brilliant.
Yeah, from 7:30 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. So it's basically looking after everywhere on the riverside end of the bridge and all that area. So.
So that's great. How good does that feel
to
get a job?
Yeah, it feels brilliant. Like, I've been waiting 13 months for it. So.
Yeah.
And literally they came up and they said, oh, can you come down for an interview? I got to the main depot in up by the Heath Hospital, and they turned around and they said, oh, it's actually an induction. So,
right. So you'd actually got it. You didn't know you got it. Oh,
yeah, they were just waiting to show me how to use a couple of the machines and stuff like that. So.
Fine. I know you're keen to get back and start boxing again, so I won't keep you long. But how much would you recommend this kind of project to other people who are homeless in your scenario?
Definitely, yes. A lot. They benefit a lot. By doing this also, it gets me onto other projects that the same, obviously, Litchfield do. And your name actually gets recommended for activities if you do all these, so... Yeah, Rob says if anyone's interested, they just go down to Litchfield and just speak to him. It's as easy as that, and he can sign him up.
I couldn't come up here and not have a chat with you, because, you know, after I was so blown away the last time about everything that was going on, but I was particularly taken by your idea about homelessness and, you know, getting people to come and do boxing and see the... I mean, the change is just, you're listening to Rob, it's amazing. How satisfying has it been seeing this initiative in action?
Yeah, it's been really good. When we were approached by Rob to do this idea, both Tony and I were like, oh, is it going to work? Is it not going to work? Like, we just didn't know what to expect. And there's no other clubs doing it. So for us, it was like, let's just try it. We can only try and see. But they've been such a lovely bunch of people. They've all got a story, they've all got something going on, but they make training every single week, so to even to see the changes in them from the first day they turned up without a kit, without shoes, without a clue of what was going on. They really, really bought into it.
And what changes have you seen over the 5 weeks in terms of how they've gone? It's 5 or 6 weeks now, isn't it?
This is week five.
Yeah.
We've seen numbers kind of dwindle a little bit. But there are some that are consistently here. Yeah. So there's one boy that's come, and the first time he turned up, he had really long nails. His hair was everywhere. Nothing to train in. But really, like, in that first session, really, like, took it all on board. Went out, he came back the next week, nails cut, hair cut, hand wraps on.
Yeah.
He'd gone and bought gloves out of his own money. And he's the one that rounds everybody up. So on a Friday morning, he's knocking their doors, saying to them they need to get up because they're all coming to the gym. So he's really bought into it. Yeah, he's done really, really well.
Yeah. And I was trying to get to the bottom of it with Rob. And, you know, this thing about the discipline about boxing, he was saying the camaraderie as well. And, you know, coming to do training, it's a different, it's a kind of warfare in a sense, but it's channeled. So is that, how do you feel? What is it? What is that transformative thing about boxing that seems to work?
I think there is the discipline level to it, but there's also, it's just such a good tool of engagement. It's a completely different environment to what they're used to. And we're quite laid back. Like, we like a laugh and a joke, so it's not, nothing's too serious. Mm. And they know, like, they can have a laugh and a joke back with us. But at the same time, I think it's the dedication that they're showing that actually make us want to push it even more, because they've stuck to it so well. And I think in a boxing gym environment, it is tough, but they've just come in and they've got on with it. And to see them enjoying it as well, which for us makes the massive difference, is something that they can come, they feel comfortable. And it's something that they want to carry on. So we must be doing something right.
Oh, absolutely. And it's great to hear about what, because like I said to Rob, the perception that the council don't do anything for homeless people, that's not right. But this is showing a bit of innovation.
I think Rob was the lead on this. He really pushed this, and I know he had to fight for this to happen. I think when you mention boxing, there's the stigma around it that it's going to increase violence in people, when actually it does the opposite. It kind of gives them a controlled way to release anything that they're feeling. And I think with the good work Rob's doing, and we've had senior members of staff from the homeless service come out, and they have said that this is the most engaged they've ever been. This is a project that they didn't think would work, but is really working well. You've seen they've got their own t-shirts, they've kind of branded it for them.
There's a real bonding there. There's
and we do quite a lot of work with South Wales Police, and one of the police officers I speak to quite often that we do work with was at a partnership meeting, and this programme was brought up there with quite high-level people within the council, within the police, to say about the good work that was going on and the impact it's making on them.
Yeah, that's so great to see. There were so many things you said were going on the last time I spoke to you. Where are we? What's next? Because you're taking on the bloody world, is all I can see.
So obviously the homeless project is one project we've got going on. We had one of our coaches go and deliver boxing sessions to patients with dementia up on a dementia ward up in Landock.
Right.
Which again, there was the concern that it was going to increase the violence, but it's gone the other way. There were people as old as 90 getting out of a chair, putting pads on and having a go. We've just finished a project with Eastern High looking at reducing knife crime. So that was with a group of year 8 boys and getting them re-engaged back into school. That went really, really well. That was in partnership with South Wales Police. And we did a project, and Tiger Bay did a project as well, so we run it together. Which worked really well, because it was two different communities coming together just through boxing. We just ran a summer programme from the gym with some funding from the lottery, which we saw over 50 children per session. We provided lunch and breakfast. And I'm a bit of a nerd, so looking at the evaluation and stuff, we hit children from 18 different schools across Cardiff, one of them being a special school because we had two autistic little boys come in.
Brilliant.
So yeah, there's a lot going on. We've just put in for some funding from the Home Office to do a project around knife crime and reducing antisocial behaviour. So yeah, there's a lot going on, as well as then obviously we are a boxing club, so we do have our amateur classes in the evening, which we've got a really good stable now of young boxers coming through. The coaches work really hard with them to make sure they're prepared ready for the new season. So that's September kickoff.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on.
There's an awful lot.
There's a lot going
You've
on.
Already sparked another few ideas. I'm really going to be getting on your nerves. I'm really interested in the dementia thing, though. Is that still going?
So we run that as a pilot project because, again, we were approached by a physio from Landoc, and they weren't sure how it was going to work because, obviously, dementia, there's so many traits to it. They didn't know if it was going to increase the violence on the ward. Mm. They didn't know if it was going to have an effect on the patients. But it went really well. So we delivered 8 sessions on the ward. And then the people within the community, there were low-level dementia, depression and anxiety. They came to the gym. Mm-hmm. So we run a 10-week block of sessions, which we had funded through Sport Cardiff. And that worked really well. So they came into the gym with their physio and a support worker. There was a lady that had Parkinson's disease. Mm. She smashed it. She was so good. Some of them would just sit down on chairs and punch the bag. Some of them really got into it. But it was just a really nice group to have in. They were up for a laugh with us. There was one who was English and was constantly telling us to take the Welsh flags down. So you'd imagine Tony was just like, no.
Can't see that coming well. Nope.
But even the pros that train here, they were on board with it as well. Like, they'd stop and have a chat with them. Then they'd ask him, like, oh, what do you do? Like, what have you been on the telly? And they're like, yeah, we've been on TV fighting. But it was just a really nice, it was a really good community group feel. But they've asked us to run another block of sessions for more patients. So over the next couple of weeks, we've got to really get a firm plan together of what we've got time for, what we can pencil in. Jeez. But we know we know they work. Yeah. So for us, it's a case of, we know it works. Let's do it again.
How do you find the time? I'm honestly exhausted listening to it again, like I was the last time. But going back to the homeless thing initiative, just because that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Final question on that, really. Is there scope to broaden it out? Are you seeing interest from other organisations?
What we didn't realise is when we first started talking to Robert, how many types of homeless people there are.
Yeah.
You just presume homeless is people living on the street, and it's really not. There's
quite hidden. There's
children that have fled home. There's women that have fled violence. There's people that have just left a job and everything's just escalated out of their control. But there's so many different types. And I know Rob has literally got backup groups ready to go through this programme all over again. So first, we know it works, but obviously funding is another thing. To run these things, you need funding. But at least going into it next time, we'll have a good base of evidence that these programmes do work.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's brilliant. Well, for now, because I'm going to be back again.
love a chat.
Thank you so much, Gemma. Brilliant. And good luck with all the initiatives in the autumn. And I will see you soon.
No worries.
Especially the dementia thing. I'm really, really interested.
I think they're coming back October.
Are they?
Yeah.
I may well be.
Because they invited us to their Christmas dinner.
So. Oh, can I come to that?
But yeah, no, that's if. Yeah, yeah, once they're back in, I'm sure they'd love to have a chat.
Brilliant. Gemma, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So a huge thank you to all at Llanrymney Phoenix Boxing Club for their friendly welcome once again. They really do amazing work, and as I said to Gemma, I will be back there soon to cover the many great initiatives that they're doing in the future. It was great to hear from Lou and Sean too, who've come through remarkably challenging circumstances but are building lives for themselves once again. Good luck to them, and indeed anyone who ends up homeless. There is help out there, so please seek it out, whether it be through Cardiff Council or through many of the other agencies that are out there. Once again, please rate and review this podcast, but for now, thanks for listening to the Cardiff Podcast.